in his mouth. Because Mahaprasadam, according to the scriptures, has to be respected as is where is. Whatever be your situation, even if you haven't taken a bath, if there is Mahaprasadam, honor it by taking at least a grain, bring it. Generally, we are not supposed to eat unless we have taken a bath. So, even if you take only prasadam, but when it comes to Mahaprasadam, and especially of Lord Jagannath, no time, no circumstances, you can take it. This topic has been discussed in various other pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So anyway, Haridas Thakur, he took a little Mahaprasadam and ate it. So Mahaprasadam therefore has to be dealt with great respect. And therefore usually we don't say the word, I have eaten Mahaprasadam. Although physically we are eating it. But we say we have honored Mahaprasadam. Because you serve Krishna in different forms, in different ways. You serve the holy name by chanting, by hearing. You serve the deities by gazing at them with love, and by offering arati, offering paraphernalia, decorating them and so on. You worship Krishna in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing and reciting. So Krishna appears in different forms and he is respected in different ways according to the form that he has taken. So in the form of prasadam, he is also honored and respected, but by eating. And sometimes you honor the Mahaprasadam just by offering obeisances. Because this Mahaprasadam is not ordinary food. The scriptures say that to waste even ordinary food is an act of sin, impiety, and it has repercussions, it has karmic reactions. And what to speak of if you waste Mahaprasadam? I think in one of our ISKCON temples, probably in Tirupati or something, in the Prasadam hall, they put up all these quotes from the different scriptures about what happens to you if you waste even one grain of Mahaprasadam. And everybody who is there is very cautious to see that they don't waste a single, because they're reading it all the time. So Haridas Thakur understood the value of the Mahaprasadam. He just took a little to offer respect and lay back. Then Govinda of course went back and gave the news to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Haridas Thakur is not well. He is lying down. He seems very weak and frail. And he didn't even take the Mahaprasadam properly, he just ate a little bit and he said, I haven't finished my rounds. So Mahaprabhu was very concerned. So the next day, Mahaprabhu as usual went to the place of Haridas Thakur and he asked him, Haridas, are you well? So Haridas offered his obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though it was physically very difficult for him to move. But nevertheless, he offered his prostrated obeisances. And then he said, he gave a very astonishing answer. He said, my body is well, but my mind and intelligence are not well. So what was the reason for him saying that? So Mahaprabhu ignored that statement. And he said, can you ascertain what your disease is? What is the problem? Because Mahaprabhu was genuinely concerned. Because Haridas Thakur did look to be very frail. And then Haridas Thakur gave a very, very important answer about his disease. What did he reply? What is my disease? He said. My disease is that I cannot complete my rounds. That is my disease. I cannot chant my prescribed number of rounds every day. That is my diseased condition. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that if one cannot chant one's prescribed rounds, number of rounds every day, then one should be understood to be in a spiritually diseased condition. So he said, therefore for the sake of people in the modern age, especially for Westerners, we have given the restriction of only 16 rounds every day minimum, instead of 64 rounds. We're supposed to chant 100,000 names every day, at least 64 rounds. But when Srila Prabhupada mentioned the idea, the devotees were shocked. And they said, 8 hours chanting? 64 rounds? That's impossible, Prabhupada. We cannot do it. So Prabhupada brought it down to 32 rounds. And they were shocked. 32 rounds are not possible. He said, 16 then, but no less than 16. So that's how the 16 rounds in ISKCON has come about. So then Prabhupada says, if anyone doesn't chant the prescribed number of rounds every day, then one is considered to be spiritually diseased. And Haridas Thakur actually set that example. So then Mahaprabhu didn't buy that from him. He said, Haridas Thakur, you have become very old now. And therefore you may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily because you're already liberated. You're not an ordinary practicing devotee. You're not a sadhak. Sadhak is one who's in the stage of practice, not one who is perfect. So the word sadhaka implies a devotee who's practicing, who's in the stage of practice, not perfected. And a siddha is one who has perfected himself in Krishna consciousness. So Haridas Thakur was by no means a sadhaka. He had already attained the stage of perfection, so he was a siddha. So Mahaprabhu was telling him that, Haridas, you are already liberated. Therefore, there is no need for you to follow the regulative principles. Even if you don't chant your prescribed number of rounds now, it's all right, because you've reached such an elevated, exalted state. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he says that one should learn from Haridas Thakur's example that however elevated one may be, one should not stop chanting and hearing. This message is given in numerous places in the scriptures, even in the teachings to Rupa Goswami, the famous Bhakti Lata Beej section, where Prabhupada cautions that the watering of the seed of devotional service, that is hearing and chanting of the holy names and forms and pastimes of Krishna, should never be stopped at any stage of devotional service. Whether one is a new devotee, whether one has been around for just 10 years or 20 years, or whether one is a very advanced devotee, at no stage should the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna be stopped. And Haridas Thakur is a great example of that. So Haridas Thakur didn't need to chant it. The certificate came from Mahaprabhu himself. That I'm giving you the certificate, you don't need to chant your rounds now. And Haridas Thakur didn't buy that. Even though the Lord was telling it to him face to face, standing there, you don't need to chant. Because out of his humility, Haridas Thakur felt, I'm not a liberated soul, I'm not an exalted soul. I need to follow the rules and regulations. In the Shat Goswami Ashtakam, about the six Goswamis, it is mentioned, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi Kalav Sahani Krita. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan would very strictly follow the regulative principles. They would count the number of rounds every day, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi. They would count their rounds. They would also offer a certain minimum number of obeisances every day. Now, of course, should I shock you with a few statistics? But don't get a complex, don't worry. But I can't do that. Never mind. But at least we should do something. Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, would offer at least 1,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas, couple of thousand obeisances to the deities of Krishna and to Govardhan every day. They would meet devotees and offer obeisances. And sometimes for us to offer a couple of obeisances in a day is a quota complete. But the six Goswamis, and not that they were just new bhaktas who had just started chanting Hare Krishna, they were the most exalted devotees. So they would chant a certain number of rounds every day minimum. And apart from that, they were constantly chanting spontaneously. That was different. But as a discipline, on their beads, they would chant their minimum rounds. They would offer their obeisances, and they would do various other things. So this is also an important lesson for us to follow, that we should also follow the regulative principles in numbers every day. Sometimes people say, well, why do you have to count? It just takes the whole love or the devotional aspect away. Just rules, 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 you have to chant so many number of names. So the whole emphasis in the mind then is just on finishing the number. Well, yes, that's a valid point. And certainly, we should try to ensure that we don't chant mechanically. And as I was mentioning earlier, not chant just to get over with it and somehow we're free for the day. That shouldn't be the attitude. But what is the need then for doing it as a discipline? Just that, a discipline. Because if we don't follow a discipline, then we will lose the practice or the habit of chanting regularly, because we don't have spontaneous taste for Krishna consciousness, for chanting the name of Krishna. And if there's no discipline, one day we will stop chanting. A second reason is that the mind plays tricks with us. If you don't have beads, and if you don't have beads, you can't count. And furthermore, if you don't have beads, then you don't engage your sense of touch. So you don't realize how much you have chanted. And you may think that you've chanted a lot, but actually you haven't. But when you have your beads, fingers on the beads, and you know you're still there, you know that you haven't chanted those rounds. Oh, it's 10 minutes and I've only chanted half my round. So probably I was thinking of so many other things during that time. I was chanting one name and then I stopped thinking. When I chant with devotees in the temple, over the years my observations have been that I sometimes observe how devotees chant their rounds, and many times you'll see devotees gazing into the distance, and if you're looking at them, you can know they're thinking of something else. They're meditating on something, not Krishna. He stopped his chanting, he's thinking, he's got his eyes somewhere, his head somewhere. He stopped his chanting, his mind is wandered, his hand is stationary, and sometimes even worse, his fingers are moving. But he's not focusing on the holy name. So because we don't have spontaneous attraction, so we have to have discipline. That's called sadhana, the stage of practice. Now, Haridas Thakur had crossed that stage by far. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally told him, Haridas, you're old, you don't need to do that. In fact, Krishna said the same thing even to Sanatana Goswami in Braj. Every day Sanatana Goswami would follow the regulative principle of doing a parikrama of Govardhan. How many of you have done a parikrama of Govardhan? Okay. And what is your condition when you have finished it? You feel like doing another one immediately? You want to really give your feet some rest. You feel really tired. And you probably also appreciate, you say, wow, I did see, I'm so devoted, I did that whole parikrama. And Sanatana Goswami would do it every day, without fail. There were some who would do it twice a day. There are some who, till today, every day they do two parikramas of Govardhan every day, walking. So Sanatana Goswami would do one parikrama every day, and he would do the longer parikrama that went to Chandra Sarovar and Suryakund, and he would go to those longer places that was almost 40 kilometers. The shorter kilometer, the regular one that we do, is about maybe 24 kilometers or something like that. So he would religiously do that every day. And even as he was in old age, with great difficulty, he would walk. And one day a beautiful cowherd boy came to him as Sanatana was sitting near Govardhan. And he said, Baba, why are you going around like this every day? And then Sanatana understood that this was Krishna. And then Krishna gave him a Govardhan Shila and said, look, there's my footprints on this, and there's a print of the imprint of my flute and also of the hoof of a calf. Now you just take this Govardhan Shila, circumambulate this 4 times, and it'll be as good as doing the parikrama of the entire Govardhan Hill. And that stone is still present today in the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. So Sanatana Goswami then finally had no choice because he couldn't walk anymore. So then he would just do the parikrama of that stone, that shila. Similarly there are so many other stories about how the Lord in the deity form bent down because the devotees who was serving them was too old to stand up and dress the deity. And the deity bent down. He said, okay, I'll bend down so that he was easily able to serve the deities. So the Lord reciprocates with his devotees like this. So devotional service is not some sentimental, fanciful tale. It's a reality for those who have the faith and devotion. So devotees, till the last breath, would like to follow the regulative principles, even though they don't really need to. So Haridas Thakur was not convinced, but Mahaprabhu continued. And he said, your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. So now when he says, Loka Nistarati Ei Tomara Avatar, you have incarnated to deliver the people in this world through the chanting of the holy names, Mahaprabhu is indicating that Haridas Thakur is an avatar, but not of Krishna, is an avatar of Brahma, the creator of the universe, the secondary creator. Because the devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, they also come in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they want to taste the nectar of the Sankirtan movement. So many of the devotees are also participating in Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Mayapur and in Puri. So many other devotees also participate. And Brahma was thinking, I also want to participate in these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came down as Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur is none other than Brahma. So then Mahaprabhu continued and said, now therefore, please reduce the fixed number of times that you chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Again, Haridas wasn't convinced. So he said, my dear Lord, please hear my plea. I was born in an inferior family and my body is most abominable. I always engage in low work. Therefore, I am the lowest and most condemned of men. Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, they were humility personified. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Of course, we can't imitate them. And if we start talking like this, then it doesn't ring true. And people are going to look at us in a certain way. If we start telling them, look, I'm the most condemned person on the earth. I'm lower than the lowest in the world. That doesn't ring true. So then why are all these things given here for us? To give us an idea of how the great acharyas were. That we can also try to bring in some humility in our life. Maybe not by imitating, but at least by understanding the principles. He said, I am unseeable, I am untouchable, but you have accepted me as your servant. This means that you have delivered me from a hellish condition and raised me to the Vaikuntha platform. My dear Lord, by your mercy, you have made me dance in many ways. For example, I was offered the Shraddha Patra, which should have been offered only to first-class Brahmins. I ate from it, even though I was born in a family of needy deaths. Now the reference here is to one time when Advaita Acharya was doing the Shraddha ceremony for his departed forefathers, And the custom, when you do a Shraddha in traditional life, was that you would invite Brahmanas to come. And the senior most of those Brahmanas, the most exalted of those Brahmanas, would be given the first plate of Krishna's prasadam that had been offered to the forefathers. And that was called the Shraddha Patra, the plate from the Shraddha. So that is given to the most honorable amongst the Brahmanas. And Advaita Acharya chose Haridas Thakur for that. And Haridas Thakur vigorously protested. He said, but I am born in a Yavana family. I am not a Brahmana. And apart from that, I am filled with all kinds of bad things. I have all sorts of bad qualities in me. And Advaita Acharya, of course, was a very intelligent, great devotee, incarnation of the Lord Himself. So he said, no. You are actually the most fit candidate to receive this Shraddha Patra because you are the greatest devotee of the Lord. So you are fit and eligible to receive this honor. Haridas Thakur begged to differ, but Advaita Acharya was firm and clear in his mind. So this goes to show that a Vaishnava is much greater than a Brahmana. And nowadays also being born in a caste Brahmin family, it doesn't mean really so much. Because the kind of things we see Brahmanas doing these days, so-called Brahmanas, people born in Brahmin families, isn't something very appreciable. Eating meat, drinking liquor, and engaging in all sorts of sinful activities is very common nowadays. Even eating cow flesh, for Brahmanas, many people do it. And those who travel outside India and they settle into all these things. So being born in a Brahmin family really doesn't have much bearing in this day and age. I know of many mafia and people who are all born in Brahmin families. Land mafia and such. Dons and everything like that. So-called Brahmins. And they're proud that they're Brahmins. But they don't mind shooting somebody to death. It's okay. For a land deal or they want to blackmail you and extract some land from you, some money from you. And a few killings here and there. It's all right. We are Brahmins, so it's okay. So Haridas Thakur is in his mood of humility speaking like this. And then he reveals his mind. He said, my dear Lord, I had a very deep desire for a long time. I think that you are going to wind up your pastimes in this material world very soon. And my deep wish is that you should not show me your closing pastimes. Meaning that I want to leave before you leave. I don't want to be here. I won't be able to bear your passing away from this world. So I want to leave this body gazing at your lotus face. I don't want to see you leaving this world before me. So he says, I wish that you do not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes. Before that time comes, kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. With my tongue, I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Let me give up my body in this way. O most merciful Lord, if by your mercy it is possible, kindly grant my desire. Let this low-born body fall down before you. You can make possible this perfection of my desire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, didn't like him. He said, Haridas, Krishna is so merciful that he must execute whatever you want. But whatever happiness is mine is all due to your association. It is not fitting for you to go away and leave me behind. So Mahaprabhu says, See, Haridas, you are such a great devotee. Krishna is going to fulfill your every desire. So if you want to go before me, Krishna will fulfill that. That's not a problem. But I have a problem. That I am dependent on your association for my happiness. And you're going to leave and go away? That's not good. A similar kind of thing happened in Ramanujacharya's pastimes. I won't describe it in detail. He had one dear disciple, great devotee, exalted devotee. And he went to the deity of the Lord. He was very old. He said, "My dear Lord, I want to leave this world now. I cannot stay any longer." The Lord was petitioning him to ask for some benediction. Finally he said, "All right, please take me to Vaikuntha back." And then the Lord said, "Yes, so be it." The Lord spoke actually. And the word spread like wildfire in the devotee community. And naturally it reached the ears of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya went storming to him and said, "How can you ask such a thing?" He says, "I'm still here and you want to leave and go away?" He meant it in the way that I want your association. And you're going to leave me and go away like this? And in any case, it's the elders who go first. So the spiritual master should go first and then the disciples should follow. But his disciple, this devotee who was blessed by the Lord to attain Vaikuntha, replied. He said, "I understand that is a traditional norm. But I'm looking at it from the point of view of Vaikuntha. It is also the proper custom that the dependents or the youngsters should be there to receive the elders when they come. So when you go to Vaikuntha, then I should be there to welcome you and to receive you when you come there." So Ramanuja was speechless. "You are too intelligent for me." And of course Ramanuja's passing away is another example, but we don't have that much time. So anyway, a similar kind of situation happened here with Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. So then, Haridas Thakur got hold of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and he said, "My dear Lord, don't create an illusion. Although I am so fallen, you must certainly show me this mercy. There are many, many respectable personalities, millions of devotees who are fit to sit on my head. They are all helpful in your pastimes. My Lord, if an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss? If an ant dies, what is the loss to the material world? My Lord, you are always affectionate to your devotees. I am just an imitation devotee. But nevertheless, I wish that you fulfill my desire. That is my expectation." So because Mahaprabhu had to fulfill his noontime duties, he had to take darshan of the Lord and he had other things to do. So he left for the day. And it was settled between them that after he had darshan of Lord Jagannath the next day, he would come and meet Haridas Thakur again. So he embraced Haridas Thakur and left. Meanwhile, the next morning, after taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the place of Haridas Thakur at Siddha Bakula again. He hastily went to see Haridas. And after Haridas reached there, Mahaprabhu reached there, Haridas offered obeisances, caught hold of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. And then Haridas Thakur was asked by Mahaprabhu, "So Haridas, what is the news?" And Haridas replied, "My dear Lord, whatever is your mercy, that is the news. Whatever you wish." And then Mahaprabhu understood the indication. And he began a great congregational chanting. In other words, Mahaprabhu had understood this was Haridas's desire and he wanted to fulfill Haridas's desire. So now Mahaprabhu was making preparations for the departure of Haridas Thakur from this world. So he began the congregation was chanting of the holy names. All the devotees gathered and they all were chanting and dancing in great ecstasy. And many great devotees